You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
Shalom, aloha, welcome to the Man Dog Pod. It's the improv and conversation podcast with me, Dan Lippert, and my co-host Ryan Rosenberg. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm in a good mood.
Oh, that's great.
Really great. Yeah, I'm feeling good right now. How are you?
I'm pretty good as well. Was there like an impetus that put you in the good mood? It almost felt like you were surprised.
I think I'd like our guest today. Mm-hmm. It's not that Conan O'Brien thing where he says every episode, like, this one's actually a good one. I'd say it's bad. But one of our guests was my first ever improv teacher in Los Angeles. And so I have a lot of positive associations with him. Mm-hmm. But they're also both just fun. We just chatted beforehand. It got me. Sometimes it feels like it's going to be a little work because we don't know each other.
Right.
With guests. And this doesn't feel like it's going to be work. We'll see. Maybe it will be.
And I believe our first sketch director with Big Grande, right?
Yeah. You were right about that. Wow, a lot of firsts from, well, let's just introduce him, Drew Droege. Hi, Drew.
Hi, y'all. How's it going?
Good, how are
so
you?
So good.
I didn't know I was your first. I mean, I knew I did both of these jobs, but I didn't know that that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had done college improv, but you were my first, like, took a class with somebody.
Well, teacher. You were incredible, so thanks.
And you
great
as well.
Great to see you, yeah. Hi.
And Mitch Silpa. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, I disagree. I think this is going to be a tremendous amount of work.
Yes.
It just became a lot.
Thanks.
It was really easy. And in I would say like 10 seconds, it got heavy and weird.
Thank you. I'm the boulder.
Well, thank you both very much for being here today. Yeah, definitely excited to chat and do some prov.
Are you? Would you call yourselves old friends?
Easy.
Old period.
Easy. What was the question?
Old friends. Like Ryan and I have known each other for 12 years now. We've been friends for 12 years.
Yeah, we've known each other Mitch and I have known each other 20.
Whoa.
Yeah, something maybe longer. But yeah,
maybe 20. Longer. Yeah. At least. Yeah.
From Groundlings or before that?
Yeah. We met at the Groundlings. Yeah.
We were both students, I think, mm-hmm. when we both, mm-hmm. yeah. I just was a little, like, ahead of him in the program, but it was, we were students.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fondness for the time in my life when I was a student. Everything felt so, like, there's so much possibility, and everyone felt like they were going to be my new best friend, and you'd, like, hang out after class, and I don't know.
Oh, I know. My teachers were gods. I'm like, my comedy teachers, I was just like, oh, they know, you know, and I thought the world of like the people that were ahead of me, like Mitch and all the people that were like in the like the Sunday show before I was like going to class, you know, and like going to every week I would go to the shows and I would go to the improv shows every week and you know and it was it's a really cool time. I try to remember that as a teacher because now you get so like oh come on you know and you're like oh no remember the joy that you had when you started doing this because you know you hope you pass along that you know, that feeling that you have when you're starting out, you know, that, you know, cause it is it's a cool thing. I mean, I was very grateful to find it right when I moved here, right out of college, just to, like have the structure of like, of improv classes and having the Groundlings there. Cause I don't know what I would have done otherwise. Like I just trying to be an actor. I would have been really rough, I think.
Mm, yeah. I'm from here, but it took me longer to actually go and take a class after I graduated from college. But I always knew about the Groundlings. And my boyfriend and I broke up and I was so heartbroken that I'm like, I'm going to fix my life. And one of the things I was like, I'm taking classes at the Groundlings. But it did change my life.
Yeah.
And it's completely fixed. But
that was the last bad thing that happened to you, right?
Yeah, it's been 20 years and nothing bad has happened. but that's it took me a while to show it, but I always loved improv and, you know, grew up watching like SCTV and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I It's interesting that you watched it in LA, because everyone that watched it, it feels like you had to know somebody, if you were in the US, who like was into it. Like you had to have somebody in your life that was kind of a comedy nerd. Like people from Canada feels like, yeah, we grew up on this, but I didn't know a lot of people that watched SCTV growing up.
I was obsessed. I remember watching it. I mean, I had a little TV in my bedroom and it would be on at like, it was on late, like after, like, was it on Friday nights, like after Johnny Carson or something? Like, so it's, I don't know, after midnight, 12:30, I would stay up and watch it. And like, I would talk about the next day and like these people like Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy and Martin Short and Rick Moranis, like they were like my gods to me. They were,
I had to like look for it. Like I knew of it, like growing up in North Carolina. I don't know where we got a satellite when I was in high school, and I remember I could find certain things because I had always, or I mean, it would randomly pop up in things, and I could find it. And maybe it was on regular, and I just didn't know. But I loved it too.
I think it originally started like on like local, like I remember out here was like Channel 9 really. And then an NBC somehow got it. But yeah, I mean, I was so obsessed with it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something now that like, you can kind of feel like if other people know about it, even though it's kind of popular, you feel like, oh shit, we have a connection on this. Cause it feels like everything is so either everyone knows about it or really niche. There's not just a couple niche things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like, I mean, cause it also now with everything streaming and people, you know, people, it's like so many things to choose from, but I would say something like Rick and Morty probably, or like, you know, there are the comedy shows like that, that I feel like people have real love for, and
then,
you know, that are very, they're still very niche in that way, that aren't like the most popular talked about shows, but like comedy people really enjoy.
Yeah. I also feel that way about Pen 15.
And
actually a show that Drew has guest starred on a couple times on Search Party. Like,
oh,
Search Party.
Sure.
Like, I love that.
Yeah.
I love Search Party. That felt like a new thing I hadn't seen before. Like some,
me
like a,
too.
Like a type of comedy I really already liked, but in a form that was like, whoa, you can do this on TV?
That's what I felt like as a kid when SCTV came on. It was like somebody made something for me. Like, this is my, how did they do this? This is what I imagine is funny all the time. And Search Party is like, oh, has this always existed? But it hasn't.
I was such a fan before I got to do a few of them, and every season gets bigger and weirder and crazier and more like, I can't believe they're doing this. And I've already heard, I'm not going to say it here, but I've already heard what's happening on season 5, and it's bananas, but it has to be because of what just happened on season 4.
So yes.
Like, you know, I love that they just go for it, that they don't care about appeasing anyone. They're just like, this is what makes us laugh, and that's why we're talking about it right now. It's like why it is so special and not like noted to death and like, you know, been like, oh, it's, we got to make sure we vet this for everybody, you know, because
it feels
sure
like they're like, the audience will get it, they'll get it, like just do what we want and they'll get it, because it is so much weirder than most of the stuff on, but it's not like confusing, you know. I don't know why more people don't take risks like that.
They also don't seem to be concerned with, oh, this has to, the character has to be likable. Like, it does, like that's not a thing. Like, oh, we got to do the save the cat moment. We can't, they don't worry about that. They're just
kind of, none of them are really likable in a way. And I love them.
And, like, and then they are.
Yeah.
Because, well, neither am I.
But you're I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's like, I always, that drives me crazy when you're watching something and you're going, why do we have to like these people? And like, and it's the most irritating note when you're writing something to get that from someone going, well, we want to make sure they're likable. It's like, what does that even mean? Because like, there are a lot of characters that I don't like, but I'm supposed to, you know what I mean? When I'm supposed to like a person and but in Search Party, you're not supposed to like them, you know, and they're just like,
I think, I also think you can like awful characters.
Yes.
Like you can, they're fun. Like they're the villains that are really fun. And I'm like, I'll gain myself, but like Rebecca De Mornay and Hand That Rocks the Cradle,
the greatest,
likable to me.
I've always been on her. I'm on her side. That whole movie. Sorry, mom with asthma. I'm on Peyton's side.
Yeah, Peyton's right. Peyton's trying to give that baby her own milk.
It's somebody
banging that plunger into the bathroom stall.
Oh, the plunger in the bathroom stall scene. I love it. I'd like that more than most characters.
Completely.
More characters that beat the shit out of bathroom stalls, please.
My only association with that movie is it was like always on USA and I never watched it. And I was like, what is this movie? I have it in the same place in my brain as Single White Female for some reason.
They're both good, but I would argue that Hand the Rustic Cradle is even better. But I like them both. I wish we made more movies like that now. Like, I love that genre of movie, of that like almost like psychosexual thriller that was very 80s and 90s. And it just kind of went away.
Right.
It's like Fatal Attraction maybe kind of is what instigated all of that. Basic Instinct and all that. But the woman who's just like the villain and you love her for it. It's great.
I think it might have taken me like 10 years to get that societally out of my brain of like, if I hurt a woman's feelings, she is going to kill my family to be with me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how important I am.
Yeah. Wait, Poison Ivy? Wasn't that the one with...
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
And didn't Alicia Silverstone do one where she was crazy or she was vindictive?
Well, she did. She was in one called Crush, I think she was good in that. She is really bad in one of them, too. There's another one. Where maybe that was, I don't know, Fear.
I think it might have been with
Reese Witherspoon. There's Crush released with
Carrie always was the
okay,
guy.
Okay, so Alicia Silverstone is crazy in that movie. And then there's another one called Fear.
That's with Reese Witherspoon
and Mark Wahlberg. And Reese is good in that, of course, because, you know, especially back then, Reese always had to play good. Mm-hmm. But I love those. And
me too.
Now I feel like, again, I do think it's maybe wrapped up in the likable thing that people are scared because we want to see the woman be the vengeful one. We want to see the woman get we want to see her.
Right.
But I am wondering if people are saying we don't want an unlikable woman. We don't. Right. We want our women to be likable. Yeah. But I'm like, I don't. It makes me love women when they act on their feelings like that. I don't know. Right. I don't think that's like anti-woman, you know.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah. Promising Young Woman, I mean, they make her pretty, like, defensible and likable in that one.
That was my favorite movie of last year. I love that movie. I think that was that was absolutely astounding. But
she's so good in it.
So good. Yeah.
I'm going to try a scene here. Let's see. I'm going to try a scene.
Oh, great.
Okay.
All right, everybody. So, something we've been noticing with some of the auditions today is, you know, people are still bringing in some old habits of, you know, even in the slate, trying to be very likable. This character's not likable.
My phone went off, so I'm so sorry.
No worries. No worries. We've all got so much good.
Unprofessional of me.
It's okay. I mean, this is something you could even bring into the room, this kind of energy, you know, because there's something almost...
How much time is this introduction going to go on? Because I have a meter that I have to feed soon.
Okay. How much did you put on the meter? Because you've only been in here for like 10 minutes.
I put in 5 cents.
Okay.
I don't want to overspend if I'm not going to get the job.
Right,
I'm being honest.
That makes...
Using your nickels wisely.
Thank you.
I support
Thank you. Thanks for support. It's so nice when actors support each other.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is a great room. This is a really great room.
That is not what people mean when they say that, I don't think. But, I want to get through the intro quickly.
Thank you.
You know, we want this character to be unlikable. So don't try to prove yourself as likable or nice in the room. Just be yourself, you know, wherever you are today, and it'll really play. It'll really play.
Okay.
That's gonna be hard for me because I don't judge people. I just like, I am a vessel. You know what I mean? I am an actor. I just like let people just, you know, come through me. So it's gonna be hard for me.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I gotta double down on that and agree and say, I feel the same way. I go out of my way to tell people kind things all the time, whether I mean it or not. And I'm great.
Okay. And I'd like to take that to triple time because I brought cookies for everybody. And that's the actors, that's of so course, sweet. Everybody in the room, anybody who printed the scripts, anybody who wants a cookie, I've got plenty.
Are these dump truck cookies?
These are dump truck cookies, a little bit of everything in there.
Oh my God. Me too. And I agree. I love it when whoever prints our scripts. I want to quadruple back you on that.
Okay. Well,
I have to ask you a question, Mr. Moderator. Can I ask you, Are we allowed to eat during the audition? Because I think it would make it interesting.
Oh, well, yeah. Whatever choice you bring in, go for it. There's nothing that I'm going to say is allowed or isn't allowed. Just make sure you're safe. You know, and with your reading partner, you're not doing anything to make them uncomfortable. Right.
Oh.
I often don't feel safe. So I would love, thank you for checking in.
Okay. Yeah.
And I often feel uncomfortable.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah. You know, this character, there is a lot of discomfort with this character. There's a lot of discomfort in their own skin. So I think bring that in with you. And I guess I don't want to coach you all too much. And of course, I want to get you to your meter. So if there's
Thank
no more
God,
questions.
Thank God. I hear tick, tick, tick in my brain.
Yeah, I see you continually checking your watch. I do want to say when you go back there, I think the nickels don't even work in meters. I think it might be quarters or...
Well, I don't know what money is. I just put things in and call it a nickel.
Okay.
Oh, you guys, I have to apologize.
Oh, no. What happened?
I almost sneezed there. I almost sneezed. Oh, and that would have really changed everything in here. And I didn't, thank the Lord. But
well, not on those fresh cookies.
Yeah, definitely not.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you didn't sneeze. It seems like all three of you really, have you worked together before? I don't even have any questions. I'm just going to go.
We're actors. We naturally bond quickly. And then we will forget everything about each other and instantly.
Yeah, we're really good at connecting and then disconnecting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to, let's do this. I'll bring, it says here, I actually can't read this name. It's the top one here. It's
Teresa. That's me.
Teresa.
Is it Charles?
Is that are you Charles? People always think I'm the breakfast sausage. Chorizo. It's Chariza.
And I apologize.
I'm so sorry. What was your name?
My name is Cheester.
Oh, hi, Cheester. How interesting.
Cheester. Yeah.
Very much. We have near names. Not Charles. I'm Charles.
Yeah.
And your Cheester is not Chester.
So
that's right.
Okay, so it's Charles, but there's just an accent over the E, Charles?
Charles, yeah, that's exactly. You got it.
Okay, honey. And Cheester.
That's right. Thank you so much. I also do have a meter running as well, so if we could move on, I would appreciate it.
What a coincidence today.
I know. This is crazy. It's like, are all the spots metered? Am I crazy? They were all metered, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Santa
that's
Monica.
Not abnormal. That's... Yeah, it's not abnormal for street parking in LA.
Well, it seems abnormal today. Okay, so let us have that.
I actually walked here, so that's why there's so many blisters on my feet.
Oh, and that's why I hear so many coins jingling in your pocket, because you haven't put them in the meter.
Oh, well, the coins are for both of you. Can I give you coins?
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yes,
I'll take
please.
Some nickels.
Here, I don't even know what these are.
I'll take them. I'll take any of the sizes I like.
Okay, well.
Are coins interesting?
They're fascinating. You are so nice, by the way. Can I say that to both the other actors in the room, Charles and Chariza? You guys are so nice.
But we also told you that we were, but thanks for confirming it.
That we're really good people.
We're great people.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're all getting along. Let's go ahead and bring Chariza in. And just again, I just want to point out that the character is meant to be kind of not nice and not super likable. So just whatever you have to bring
before,
into that.
Before I start, can I ask you?
Yes.
What is the theme?
Great question.
Of the scene or the whole project?
What is the theme? I always like to ask what the theme is before it's my interesting thing that
actually,
I ask about.
Actually, I like that. Why don't you hold that for when I'm rolling the camera? Because I think that energy will kind of work for what we're about to do here.
Oh, good luck, honey.
Thank you, honey. Can also one more question? Can these two stay in my audition? I'll feel safe for the first time. I often don't feel safe, but I'll feel more safe.
Oh, I want to be there. I do. I hope you say yes, Mr. Moderator. I hope you say yes because I love making people feel safe, and I want to be a human pillow for people.
Can I lay on the ground in there?
Oh.
Look, please. That is all very unusual because most people hate to be watched during an audition by other auditors. But if you all are okay with it and if it will get us into the audition quicker, go for it. And it's also Mike. I'm not an auditor. I'm just running the camera here today.
Mike, nice to meet you, Mike.
I'm the casting associate here.
Mike, what a great name.
Okay. You all took the same class where they said to repeat
someone's
name.
We could all be hired together for this job.
No, it's
not. Is that possible?
Like playing the same character.
What about understudies or overstudies?
Oh, I'd love to overstudy.
Mike, for someone who's just running the camera, you seem to have quick answers for how things run.
Well, I've just, it's never happened where they've cast three people for the same role for a movie. Think
maybe you want to ask the powers that be.
Did you ever see that movie, Bob Dylan? There was a lot of people who played that role.
That can maybe be for this.
Yeah. Or Palindromes. That was another movie where a lot of people.
Yeah, Palindrome, a lot of people.
I don't know that movie. Well, no, this is,
you should explore independent cinema. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for suggesting that.
What a wonderful sip you took, I mean.
Thank you.
Was beautiful.
Go ahead.
I've been walking a long way and I'm very parched.
Can I say this? You don't even look exhausted. You do not look exhausted at all.
Thank you. That's a lie. I have a lot of blood in my shoes. And I'm doing all that I can, but I think it's because I'm a good person that I just sort of radiate positivity no matter what is happening.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll save that for on camera. And yeah, we'll bring you all in. So Teresa, Charles, and Cheester, come on into the room. Everybody else out here, thank you so much for your polite listening and your patience.
Thank you for being quiet, everyone else.
Thank you for giving us space to talk.
Guys, we'll let you know how it was in there, okay? We'll give a full report when we're out.
Oh, it feels like a warm room, everybody.
Hi.
We never even got to the audition.
I know. What awful people.
Terrible. I'm always the person that's quiet in the room watching that all happen, and the actors just being like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm always like, I hate what I do. Why am I doing this?
That line really went to my core of like, we're great at connecting and then great at disconnecting. I'm like,
It's so true, though. Actors, we're so good at conditional relationships.
Yeah. It's really weird. Like, there are people you'll be like, well, my friend so-and-so. And you're like, how do you know each other? Well, we worked together one day on this thing. And you are like there for a long time and you have a lot of downtime.
But they're not your friend.
But you're not. Yeah. You're like, if you haven't hung out since then, you're probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calling that person your friend, but you do feel really instantly connected. I mean, you have to be so emotionally open with people that you don't really know. It is a crazy, weird thing. And then just shut it off.
Yeah.
Some people you never hear from again, you know.
And there's certain faces that just like when you walk in, it like lightens your load a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, like this is a simpatico person where it's like we might not even chat a lot, but I know this will be a little easier for me.
Yes.
And then there's certain faces that are the opposite.
100.
Oh, they booked that guy. Okay.
Oh, great. Again, that choice. Yeah.
I just like you like talking about like, I hate what I do. And that kind of like, I haven't really, I was thinking about this when you were talking about teaching classes is like, I taught for a couple years and coached and all that. And I, in that time, I had kind of forgotten how nerve-wracking it is to be doing something for the first time in front of strangers, like an improv class. And that, like, I took a writing class a couple years ago and an acting class recently, and how defensive you get. And, like, came back to that empathy for students that I forgot because I was walking into classes like, yeah, this is easy. I know this. Like, I've done this for years. And forgetting that everyone is, you know, 23, probably out of a breakup if they're in the level one improv class. And
right.
And like in that mental zone. And I don't know if you guys have had like those moments recently where it's like, oh, I'm kind of humbled by being nervous for the first time again in a long time or out of my comfort zone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I had given up my spot at the Groundlings and I went alum, and then I'm like, I want to get back into an acting class, like a regular acting class. And then I found one and it was instant. Like, you're so vulnerable again. You're so nervous. And it is a reminder of like, it's humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always try to remind myself on the first day when I am teaching. I probably teach like, you know, in, you know, non-COVID times, we're on the Zoom or whatever, but like about once a year, like I'll do a class a year. So I have to remind myself like that it's the first day, everyone is so nervous. Even I'm kind of, because it's been a year since I've done it and I'm kind of off, but I try to make like jokes to make everybody feel okay. And people usually don't laugh the first day. Because they're just too, and you're kind of going, oh, I'm really not killing it with this group. And then you're like, no, they're just, they don't want to laugh too loud. They don't want to know. They don't know what to do. They don't know if you're serious or not. They're just taking everything so literally. They don't want to, you know. And it takes like a class or two to kind of loosen up.
Yeah, it's very much like the first day of school, like when you're in high school and stuff. I remember you just reminded me of the very first class I ever taught at the Groundlings. And I was so, it was my first class alone after I trained, and I was so nervous. I'm like, even though they don't know it's my first class, I'm like, they're going to see through me. I was so overprepared. And then I sat down at the first class, you kind of just have to sit and talk to them about the rules of the class. And I was nervous. And then I looked in all of their eyes. And as I was talking, they all seemed so scared that it relaxed me. That I'm like, I mean, it's horrible. I fed off their fear. But like, and then, but I'm like, oh, they're terrified. Oh, yeah. I'm the teacher.
Right.
I'm scary to them. And I can be a dick or I can be nice to them in this moment. Like, all right. So when I was teaching, I would always, the first three class, I'd be like very gentle with my notes. And then when they trusted me, I would tell them like, all right, now I'm going to turn on you guys a little bit and be tougher because they trust. And that, but like that first class is terrifying to them. It's really scary.
It's there's something so like, especially that feeling like you were saying of going back to it. There's something so self-conscious of feeling like you've proven yourself to people. And then being around strangers being like, oh, no, was I wrong that I proved myself?
Right.
Am I actually nothing? Am I bad at this?
They have no context for me. They don't already care, like, the people I'm normally around.
It's like when you go into a meeting in any way and they know you or they know – like, it's just so much easier because you build that in and they don't have to – and then you go into others and they – it might be a perfectly lovely situation, but you have to kind of start – way further back and I kind of go in there and tap dance a little bit. And I don't feel like I'm great at that. So I get, it makes me nervous when they tell us about yourself. Nothing makes me more nervous than talking about myself from that place of just like, where do I begin? And, and what is boring? I'm bored by so much information about myself. And then, so I just have to kind of not be, you know, and so it's so much nicer when you have that, you know, that sort of built in thing. But I also think it's good to be nervous every now and then. It's good to remind yourself, like, you know, that you're not always, like, killing it.
Yeah.
It's actually good. Like, it's good to, we were talking about feeling safe in the last improv, but sometimes it's not good to feel safe all the time.
Yeah.
Not that you want to feel like you're in danger, but you never really grow if you don't feel a little unsafe. Like, if you're always safe, you're never challenged. You never really kind of grow. The times I really can look back and grow, it's like, I can't tell you I felt safe. I felt scared. I felt completely insecure and unsure. But I don't know. I don't think it's always bad to feel unsafe.
The most growth usually comes out of situations I would have never chosen to go through. You know, I would have never been like, let me go through a bunch of pain and lesson learning. You know? And
I feel like there's like moments in your life that sort of mark like, oh, I'm an adult. Like I think of a time when I was a summer between my junior and senior year in college, and I was in London, and I had never been to UK before, and I flew by myself, and it was pre 9/11, and it was like, so you could just walk off, at least in the United States, in my memory, you could just walk off the plane and whoever's there to pick you up is right there at the gate to like pick you up. But I was like jet lagged and I didn't understand, like I had to go through customs and all that. And so the person who was gonna pick me up was waiting for me at a whole different place. And I'm waiting for like an hour. So they left. They thought I didn't get on the plane. So I had to like figure out London with coins, literally like our last scene. I had an envelope full of coins that I hadn't even looked at, British money. And I had to go and figure out where I was staying. I had an address on a piece of paper. We did not have, you know, internet. We had internet, but we didn't have it on. We didn't have phones. I didn't have a cell phone. And because this was 1998. And it's like, you know, so you're just kind of going, And I figured it out, and like, and my luggage was missing. It was a whole thing and it all came together. And I remember thinking like, I'm an adult now. Like it was such a, it was such a rite of passage. And I was terrified the whole day and I didn't know where I was going and just being like, just asking strangers about things and just, you know, and again, I think back and I'm like, I was in London like on a Tuesday afternoon and, you know, but in my mind I was like, I was having this crazy, you know, Midnight Express experience because like, I was like,
oh my God, know, in a Turkish prison. Midnight.
That's how my little like naive North Carolina, like, you know, sheltered. I was like, this is insane. I have to figure this out, you know, but you do. And you're like, oh, that's so cool that I did that. And I felt like an adult for that. It was the first time I was like, looked back and was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. To learn that you're like capable of something that you never thought you were. And it's like, oh, if I can do that, I guess I can handle myself.
Yeah. No, it's weird. And I'm that way with anything technical to this day. When I can figure it out, I'm like, I feel. I mean, if it's like a smoke detector or like how to like literally download it, like Zoom, I mean, the teeniest things. But for me, it's like, you know.
I changed the battery in my remote control for my parking garage yesterday, and it felt like a victory. Even how to open the thing and the right battery.
Right.
And I'm like, I can open my remote control now.
Right.
my parking garage. Yeah.
I'll have that with stuff that I've avoided for like 3 months and been like, I can't. I don't know how this will get done. Da, da, da. And then it's like a 5-minute Google and like one trip to a store. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm a genius.
No.
For 3 weeks, I thought I was an idiot. But yeah.
Do you all have that? Or if you're like what your parents were like, we're like, my image of my dad and like manhood is capability. It's like doing stuff on your own. Fixing things. Like my dad, like grew up on a farm, started his own a million small businesses, built like houses, could like wire stuff. And then, like I took a year to fix like a leaky toilet and it took me 5 minutes. And I was like, I'm going to tell everybody about this. This was like I am a man. I can fix a toilet. Like I can, I looked up a YouTube video.
Right.
But it's like I sometimes I'll get embarrassed thinking of like the idea of that.
I feel like I had a mom that was more that way. My dad was always the person like, I can't, and he would panic and flip out and have to call someone to do something. Like a lot of like roles were reversed. And so like because my brother is like my mom in that way. My brother is so good about like fixing things, and I'm way more like panic. I don't trust myself to know how to do those things. But I didn't have a very like I didn't have a dad that was really like, you know, be a man and like and I'm very grateful because I think about like so many, you know, friends of mine that had to deal with like all their, you know, masculinity issues and whatever, and they're having a father like to live up, and my dad was kind of like, nah, we don't really get sweaty in our house, like that's just what I was always really happy about.
Yeah, good. That's nice.
Yeah, my dad never really fixed stuff either. He didn't. I don't remember. I mean, but I also don't think he was like. He also wasn't sensitive like your dad seems to be. he was like, my dad was just. My dad was a gambler. He liked to go out gambling, and the only thing I saw him fix was he would clean his car sometimes. That was it.
What sort of gambling? Like
oh, poker. Oh, he would go out like probably. Like in retrospect had a problem, but like he would go out almost every night and go to like the clubs in Gardena when I was a kid, what was actually, I mean, but it sounds terrible, but it's actually kind of fun. When I was a kid, he used to sneak me into like Hollywood Park, the horse racing thing. And we'd go up in the upper level where you're supposed to pay. And he would just be such a shyster. And he'd go, don't say anything. And we just act like we're supposed to meet somebody. And he would sneak me up into the upper level. Or like, but I got to watch the horses in the upper level with my dad, but we never had a ticket. Wow. But it also probably explains.
Let's do a scene. Let's do a scene.
Yeah.
Good evening, men. Sorry, I got here a little late. I brought my kid.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Good to see you.
Well, I'm doing great. You're gonna have to ask him how he's doing. He's not thrilled to be here for some reason.
Well, I don't want to be here.
Oh, come on! It'll get good in a minute. You want a hot dog?
Look at that nice man's giving you a hot dog. Where are you gonna turn it down?
No, but Mom says I shouldn't eat hot dogs.
Look, we don't listen. We don't listen to women up here. All right, this is man chatter up here. All right,
are we gonna get home in time for me to watch the Bionic Woman? Listen, this is 1970.
You're never watching the Bionic Woman again. All right, you're never watching.
You can watch the $6 Million Man. You can watch Mannix. You can watch Room 222, but skip the Barbara Feldon parts.
Dad, Room 222 has been off the air for years. It's 1977. Get a TV guide.
Look.
Hey, now, you know, where I'm from, we don't talk back to our dads. Is this
Thank
crazy?
You, Pijo. This is Pijo, and he's offering you a hot dog, so you got to take it.
Well, where I come from, we do.
Yo. Okay.
Hey, I like a young man with a little bit of spit and vinegar in him, as we say. So, look, hey, buddy, why don't I pour you a little Roy Rogers? How about that?
Okay, that sounds fine.
All right, start working your way up to maybe like a whiskey soda or something like that.
Oh, yeah, we'll get him drunk by the end of the night, but we'll start, like, you know, give him a little, like, soda water. We'll work his way up.
Now, big guy, what do you think is going to happen with the Braves this season?
Oh, listen.
Dad, tell us about the Braves.
Listen, if Pete Ramirez doesn't hold all nine bases, I swear I'm going to have a talk with the manager, Marge Schott.
Dad, did you say if he doesn't hold on to those bases?
Yeah, he's going to hold on to those bases.
All nine bases?
Hold on to all of them. Not let anybody run those bases.
That's all right. Well, there's three bases in a home plate. That feels like Bionic Woman talk there.
Oh, yeah, I love the Bionic Woman.
No talk of Lindsay Wagner up here, all right?
Jamie Summers is her character's name, and she can stop a car that the brakes go out by dragging her leg on the road, and she opens a car door. She's bionic.
Okay, well, hey, that's cool imagery, but we stop a car here is we fix the brakes.
Any of the other men, are you familiar with the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Mystery Hour? You never know which one is going to pop on. Well, guess what? When Nancy Drew pops on, we change the channel.
Yeah,
right?
I hate it. I just want to see the Hardy Boys and no Nancy Drew.
Oh, okay. That was good.
Hey,
that was good.
He's not even drunk yet, and he's already getting salty.
I got some sugar in this Roy Rogers.
Well, hey, are we dealing your boy in on this hand, or what's the story?
Yeah, deal him in.
Okay.
Flop it down. Let's go wild card six.
Perfect. Game of wild card six. I'm excited. I'm stoked for this.
Look at your old man shuffle there. He does the thing where he puts all the cards on the table and pushes them around.
I put them all on the table. I slap them down, and we just like, and then I just pick up fistfuls and throw them across the table.
He doesn't care.
Oh, Dad, I've actually never seen you shuffle. I'm real impressed with you. You're becoming a hero to me.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a good sign.
No, your old man probably doesn't get to act like this at home, does he? See, this is an all-male area, and you get to really be yourself.
My mom doesn't like him to shuffle.
She wraps a belt around my mouth when I try to talk.
Oh, I get the same treatment at home. I get the same treatment at home, and I'll tell you what. Sometimes I deserve it. Sure, sometimes. But generally, I want to breathe.
Yeah, it'd be nice to not taste leather every time I have an opinion about the weather.
Fellas... This is why I'm thrice divorced. If she starts putting that belt around your mouth when you start acting up, or if she starts pushing you around, any sort of that stuff, you got to get out of there and
take care of
yourself.
You're in your Buick and you're on the way to the attorney's office. That's, I get it.
That's absolutely right. I've got an extra futon in the attorney's office by now, just for me. Now,
that's why I think I like boys.
Oh.
Oh, well, we all prefer the company of men instead of women.
Sure. You know, that's a normal thing at your age. Just a phase. All right.
you moved on real quick from that one.
let's pick up your fist of cards. You grab those like a man.
Thanks, Dad. That Roy Rogers is doing the trick.
You're foaming at the mouth a little bit.
Really amped up here. I'm liking this energy.
I've never felt more
alive.
Well, still use the cocaine from a few decades ago, from a few decades ago that has cocaine in it. So you might be a little amped up from that.
Oh, that's right. Coca-Cola used to have cocaine.
Welcome
to Studio 54.
Your old man says that you're looking to do some acting. You're thinking like detective mysteries, something like that, action movies.
Yeah,
what are you doing at school?
I want to do detective mystery. Oh, that's great. All I want to do.
Great, yeah.
I want to perform a detective. I want to solve problems.
Oh, I'd love
Pijo. Pijo does sound. You're a sound guy, right, Pijo?
Yeah, that's right. I hold the microphone.
Oh.
BJ's a man of few words.
Yeah. I hold the microphone, the sound goes into it, then I give it to the nerds, and they finish it.
That's real. I feel like I learned a lot from how sound works.
Now, how are you behind the wheel? Because your old man, sorry to throw you under the bus here, but can get a little sloppy here with he's already on his third scotch. You might have to be driving home, little man.
Well, I'm 14, but it is 1977, so you don't have to wear a seatbelt. So there's no rules.
Oh, that.
I often make him drive me home because I have long days at the office bar.
And sometimes he lets me go be in the trunk.
I let him be in the trunk.
Yeah,
that's a good dad.
It's a privilege.
I like bouncing around in there while he's driving.
Oh,
yeah. Get your own little play place in there. That's pretty cool. You don't want to sit up front with some adult, right? You're a kid. You want your space.
And I don't need that much oxygen.
No, you got
more fun when you've had less.
Thank you.
Well, my old man started bringing me to his poker games when I was two. So, you know, in my esteemed opinion, you're almost a little late here. And if I had custody of the kids, I would bring them, but I don't. So I'm glad you're here to kind of learn how it works and what men talk about up here, you know.
Okay.
How's life at Carpet World, Ronald?
Well, they fired me again, so...
God dang it, you hate to hear
it. It's on again, off again there, you know what I mean? Because I've been pushing rugs, and they say it's carpet only. They make more money by the square foot if you do carpet. But I think a shag rug looks good, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you like a rounded off angle. You like it, something, you know, you can roll up and, you know, throw in your car, like what I do to my kid. You know?
Yeah, I'm your shag carpet. Yeah.
You're my little toy. All right,
what do we got in this first hand?
I do have some hairs on my body.
Oh!
I am like a shag carpet.
Oh, yo, hey, we're not at the point where we're showing each other his body hair.
Uncomfortable again. All right. So, okay. All right. Let's look at our cards. Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
Holy crap. Oh, I got a good hand.
Wow, what a hand.
All right, as we play poker here, we announce what our hands are to the table, and then we all decide who has the best hand. It's a real quick game.
Yeah, everything above board here. We don't trust each other, so we just say the hands, and it's just a quick... We didn't want to learn the rules, really.
Okay, I need some chips, please.
All right, there you go. Now, these are clay chips that I got. I got these from Circus Circus. I went down to Vegas last weekend on a whim because I couldn't sleep.
How was that, Ronald?
It was, as far as the money goes, awful.
They get you every time, don't they?
They get you every time. But I caught a few shows.
Lola Falana?
Sorry?
Lola Falana? Did you see Lola Falana?
No, I didn't see
Lola. My little baby's a huge Lola Falana fan.
I love my second after Lindsay Wagner is Lola Falana.
Don't you like... what I like there, I guess.
Are you okay?
I think that you.
Are you going to the bathroom?
I'm either having a heart attack or I'm messing myself.
Oh, no.
That's
all right.
Ronald has lots of health problems. It's probably why he was actually fired from Carpet World.
Oh, yeah.
It's a liability to keep him on payroll.
You stained a lot of carpets, right?
It's almost the worst place to work. If you can't control your bowels.
If you're no control of your bowels, it's a bad business.
Right.
But I get why you like rugs more than carpet. You can simply pick it up, throw it in the wash, put it back down.
That's my big
pitch. Have you thought about working like a linoleum store or like a
toilet store?
Toilet store.
or a bucket store that you can stand over buckets all day and pee in it.
All great pitches, but the number one irony is I just don't enjoy selling those things. You know what I mean? You've got to have a passion for sales, and that's kind of it. For me, it's rugs and sometimes carpets. But I mean, linoleum's just not impressive to me. All right, I think it passed whichever one of the two it was I was having there.
Great. So I never got my Lola Falana answer.
Same.
I'm sorry. My kid's an annoying little piece of shit.
I want my Lola Falana.
What's wrong with you? Give him more cocaine. Maybe he'll like zone out.
Same. All right, folks. Support for the Man Dog Pod is brought to you by Manscaped. They're the best in below-the-waist grooming, and they're the champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels.
That's right. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you.
20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code MANDOG at manscaped.com. Ryan, we've used Manscaped. We have scaped our manhood.
Oh, baby. I have absolutely done it. And I'll tell you what, one of the first times I ever didn't cut myself. Not that I'm going too close with these unprofessional shavers, but I figured with the pro one, I'll go for it.
Your khakis budget has gone way down. You're no longer bleeding through your khakis.
That's right.
And you're totally uncut downtown. I mean, imagine, we don't have to, but if you haven't used it yet, imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I'm in there 4 hours a day.
Oh, and imagine all the money you're going to save on pants and underwear where you're not cutting right through them on the daily. Are you kidding me? Yeah, sure. I'll trim it up. I'll keep it looking clean down there. I don't want to be nasty. You know what I mean? But what do you do? It's hard to do. Now you got the product that's made exclusively for it. It's the Manscaped for Man Dog Pod. It's the 4.0. It's got a nice little stand.
It's got a stand. Look at that. It won't fall down. It won't tip over. It's standing straight up. They've got a bunch of stuff. 4000K LED spotlight. You can turn that on and off.
That was very nice because you don't always get a light from below when you're shaving.
That's a universal lighting. A DP would faint over something like that.
That's right.
We're excited about it. Look, there's a lot of questions out there. Are you just promoting this product because the people at Manscaped searched podcast man and came across you as a Man Now Dog? Or is it because we have such a bold, hairy listenership that they knew that people needed this? Or is it just because they know people need the product and they wanted to get the word out through us? I don't have the answer to that, but I can tell you that you get 20% off and free shipping when you put the code MANDOG in at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-D-O-G. We're told your balls will thank you.
That's right. Oh, did I mention wireless charging? Because I don't know about you, but I got a small little bathroom area. I can't have 50 different wires on there. It's nice that I can set it, forget it. It's really functional.
That's absolutely great. The one thing I'm doing all the time is plugging, unplugging, replugging wires in my bathroom. I got my electric toothbrush. I got my the thing that squirts water between my teeth.
And I got my face shaver. Let's be honest, folks. We don't all want to shave our face with the same thing we shave our balls with.
No.
I'll be honest. I've done it. I have done it. And no longer will I do it.
That's when Ryan was going through his pirate pube beard phase.
Mm-hmm. Tough phase.
Tough phase. But you're back and excited to be using Manscaped. And here we're going to lay it out for you. I'm going to lay it out, Ryan. I'm going to be brutally honest. They've sent us the product and they said, hey, we'll keep advertising with you if your listeners like the product and support it. So let's say you don't want to join our Patreon. That's okay. But you do want to take care of what's going on downstairs. You can support us by buying yourself right. The Lawnmower 4.0, taking care of yourself a little bit, and helping us out. I mean, it's
pretty much a giveaway. We don't benefit from this. This is for you.
This is for you. It's almost worse for us if you get this. I can't explain why, but it might be. So go ahead and pick up your Manscaped today at manscaped.com and throw in the code MANDOG for 20% off. Free shipping, and a beautiful Lawnmower 4.0 for the downtown Julie Brown.
It's time to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence with some nice, smooth boys. And we're talking balls.
Little Dom.
That was your balls?
That's us.
Oh my God, they speak in unison. Folks, once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code MANDOG at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Yeah, baby.
Dog.
I don't know who Lola Falana is.
Oh, she was a kind of big in the 70s. She's black. Well, she was a dancer, performed in Vegas many times, had TV specials.
I only know, sexy. I honestly know her name because it's like she's like a reference to a lot of things at the time, but I actually don't, I wouldn't know if
I bet I saw you her. Have seen some post of it. Like, I'll send you a Lola Falana.
That is like a, that scene did sort of remind me of like being a kid and going out with just your dad to like a weird place that's maybe a little too adult. Like my dad used to take us to a sports bar. My parents were divorced, so like a week at my mom's was one way and then a week at my dad's was totally different. And so like we used to go to this sports bar that I think was called like Durango's or something. I was like, yeah, this is fine or whatever. But now that I'm older and I look back at that place, I was like, what the fuck was I even doing in there? It wasn't like hard. It was just sort of like dingy and dirty and like we could have gone to anywhere. Why are we there?
My brother and I laugh now because when we were kids, when my parents would go on vacations, they would sometimes leave us with one set of grandparents and sometimes with the other set. And one set of my grandparents, it was just like pure love, the most wonderful people who were just like, would just do what, just were just like spoil you and give you, and they were just like the greatest. And then the other set of grandparents were like hardened drunks, angry, vindictive, upset all the time. And my brother and I just thought it was funny, but there were times that I was like, we look back and we're like, they were like playing, they made us play cards when we were really young. And it was like bridge and like hard things that I don't even know how to play now. And like, and I remember them being always having scotch and peanuts and like really salty, like those Spanish peanuts. Mm-hmm. And it was like dimly lit. And like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and my brother and I would just be giggling and laughing because we didn't understand, you know. And then my grandfather would just be like, put away the damn cards. Oh. And we would laugh. Like, you think now, like, if that was a scene in a movie, you're like, that's the saddest thing ever. These children are in trouble. Something terrible is going to happen. And my brother and I now are just like kind of laughing about it. Now we're like, we were really not being taken care of.
Yeah.
And we thought like, oh, this is fine. And we knew it was different in the two different places, but it was like wildly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like, oh, that's just how they're funny. That's just how they are. And
right,
then,
we thought they were just funny. And we knew he was like grumpy.
Yeah.
But we didn't know. And I remember they took us to the movies and he always got the title of movies wrong and got really upset because we went and saw Soap Dish and he called it Soup Dish. And he was insisting the movie was called Soup Dish and upset. And then also we went and saw What About Bob, you know, the Bill Murray movie. And my grandfather called it Where's Bob? And he was like, it's Where's Bob? Because he's lost. And he's so mad. My brother and I just thought it was, to this day, my brother laughed about it. It was like, but he was just like furious.
and kind of close to the title, but not exactly.
Right.
I like the like doubling down. Like sometimes you'll have that person in your life who just says titles wrong and it's kind of funny, but the doubling down of like, it's Where's Bob because he's lost, is like, well,
oh yes.
I wish I could, not listening to us.
I wish I could give every man the gift of like, it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah. 100%.
You just don't have to know it.
Absolutely. Because we know those people who do not care if they're assholes as long as they're right. And sometimes you're like, also even when you know, I think, you know, sometimes in certain social situations, it's like, you can let someone be wrong and not have to correct them. But also the people, because sometimes they'll say something, you're like, whatever, I know what they meant, or they're wrong, but I don't need to be like, you know. But people are so indignant about being correct about things. And it's like, what points do you get for that? It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Also, when some guys who are like always have to be right, and then when you're there, they'll just argue something and then they realize that they're wrong, but they keep going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They like get like a dickhead momentum going. Like,
right.
It's like, I don't understand.
That's when the arguments you're like, are changing.
Where it's I'm like, kind of not even talking to you anymore.
Yeah.
Why are you still going?
Yeah.
Men.
You know? Great. Thank you for this men's group.
Women, we're not letting you off the hook either here.
No, you're going to be vengeful and, you know, take a plunger into a bathroom. We know how you're going to be.
Yeah, we know what you're like. We saw movies in the early 90s. Well, why don't we try it? Well, let's do a little voicemail here and do some scenes off of that. If you're listening at home and would like to leave a voicemail, true story, 30 seconds to a minute long, the number is 818-465-8656, and we will do scenes inspired by your voicemail like we're about to do here.
Hey guys, I've got just kind of a quick story about traveling with my mom. She's 70. She's never traveled really anywhere in her life. She's a bit of a nervous traveler. But one of the things that's kind of great about her is we like to say she's an idiot savant, but she's not smart. She just will find one thing and know everything about that thing. One of those things is, oddly enough, impressionist painters, specifically Monet. And so we planned this whole trip to France, not telling her that there's a museum called the Musée de l'Orange, maybe, where they have almost all the Monets and specifically the Lily paintings that she loves. And we were there for a week. She didn't know. That's why we were there. And we showed up and to the museum, and it was closed for construction the entire week. So we just didn't say anything. We didn't tell her, and we spent the next 2 hours sitting in front of the museum, looking out over the city and taking pictures of the sunset. And she actually has now a framed 20-inch photo from that bench, where she has no idea that, you know, kind of her wildest dreams would have come true. So anyhow, thanks, guys.
That's so sweet.
She almost got a dream, but she didn't know it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it wasn't like she was sad about it.
Yeah. I wonder if I could have kept that secret.
Right. That's a sweet way to handle that, kind of, right? You kind of want to be like, I tried to do a special thing for you, but right. Maybe nicer to just be like, what a nice day we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And that weird early, it was such a sweet story. Based on that early dig, I was like, so she's an idiot? What's the, she's not smart.
Right. I was thinking, like, she's going to have a meltdown at the Monet Museum. And instead she was like,
she's not smart, he said.
Right.
Sorry, Mom. Well, it's so nice after a couple years, after this crazy couple years, to actually do Thanksgiving together again and see you all again. This has really been special.
Where do I sit? I just...
Well, wherever you want.
We normally have like little name cards. Somebody makes a name card, so I know where to sit. But it's okay. I'll just pick a chair.
Madge, please, just let's have a great Thanksgiving, please.
Okay. Well, I'm doing the best I can, Carl.
It's rough. Well, Madge, just let's not... Oh, don't be nervous.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
So, Mom, I know...
This bread looks fantastic. I can't wait to eat. Thank you so much for preparing all this food for us.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Are there grits? Do they have grits here?
No, we didn't do grits on the Thanksgiving menu this year.
What?
I'm sorry, Mom, but I kind of wanted to do Thanksgiving kind of my way here and kind of welcome you to my house. You've done so much for us in the past, Dad, as well.
That's true. That's very odd.
I appreciate having a son that makes anything for us.
Thanks, Dad, for setting the bar so low. Yeah,
so very low.
Yeah, thank you.
Very low bar.
He has a very low bar.
You know what?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
It just looks like we found our seats. Why don't I go grab some wine? Everybody, I'll bring some wine back, and then we can sort of get into it. Does that work?
Oh, I think too spicy. I don't like a spicy wine.
Okay. Something drinkable.
Madge.
I just...
Well, you know, We went to the Chili's, not the one we normally go to, but there's a different Chili's.
The one in Altadena.
Yeah,
the one in Altadena had a different wine menu, and I ordered a Chardonnay, and it had a kick to it that I did not enjoy.
She was up all night.
Up all night.
From the wine. From the wine.
I think that waitress, her name was April, I think she put some coffee in my Chardonnay.
Mom, the waitress.
Oh, April seemed perfectly lovely, and I told you she was up all night saying, "I think April put coffee in my wine." I'm like, "Why would?" Can you imagine? She had to go make this. Is at night. She's got to go make coffee and put it in your. Why would she do that?
I don't know. It's my intuition, but I felt it strongly. I was up all night chattering. I was a nervous wreck. Tugging at my bra all night.
It was our waterbed was bouncing and bouncing from her tugging at her bra. I couldn't get to sleep.
You guys got to get a regular mattress. You got to get a regular mattress.
By the way, do you have a waterbed for us tonight? Because I can't sleep on a firm, like a cloth mattress of any sort.
We weren't able to get you a waterbed in the guest room on short notice. I'm sorry.
Well, can you wet the lawn and put the mattress on it so at least you can feel like we're on water?
I'm not putting my parents on the wet lawn in the middle of the almost the winter. I mean, it's cold out. Please, one night, Dad, your back problems, I guarantee you, are related to sleeping on a waterbed for the past 50 years.
He has a low bar. He has a low bar. It's fine. He'll sleep on anything. I'm the trouble one. I'll own it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. Dad, are you sleeping well at mom? I know you're so restless when you sleep. How are you doing with that? And the waterbed, there's no protection there.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, Dad. How are you sleeping?
No. Your mother's restless, and every once in a while she strikes me in her sleep. I fall asleep fine. You know that. I always talk about how easy it is to fall asleep. But then your mother will just strike me out of nowhere, and I'm like, I'm up.
Well, sometimes I'm watching a really scary show, and I would love for Carl to be watching it as well, and I notice he's asleep, so I just have to, I just hit him.
Hit him. Smack. But then I sometimes enjoy the show, so it's everyone wins.
That's good, because I was, when you said she smacks you, I thought it was like accidentally in your sleep. I didn't realize
sometimes
you were actively choosing to do it.
I have deep nightmares.
Okay.
Deep.
I'm glad that you both kind of made the trek out for this. I know you've been at home for the past 2 years and just safe with the pandemic, and it's just so nice to see you in person. I'm really happy for that.
Do I look okay? How's my body?
Please be honest.
I need some. She won't tell me. I ask her every day. I stand in front of her completely naked, and I'm like, is my body okay? So I just was wondering.
It's covered in bruises. Usually that's what I notice. And I'm like, sorry, I punched you so many times last night.
Yeah, after all these years. But I'm just curious. Does my body look different than it is 2 years ago?
Well, Dad, you know, a lot's changed. It looks like you're wearing the stress of the last 2 years on your body. You have aged a little bit. I really do think you should see a doctor about those back problems. It looks like you're in a ton of pain right now from the water.
I am.
Yeah.
I tell him he's like a Monet painting. You know, you stand away from him. The further away, the better he looks.
Okay.
The closer you get up, it's just a bunch of just disconnected dots and colors.
Listen, I take it as a compliment. If you tell me that I look good far away, I'll take it. I have never looked good in my entire life. I was not a good looking baby. I'm being honest.
Oh, you look wonderful.
You never was a prize. I always look like a bunch of dots. That's what I look like. I'm fine.
Well, I got some wine. You know, if anybody, no coffee, just regular straight up wine.
Make sure.
There you go. Mm. Give everyone a little pour here. I just want to thank you guys so much for coming and sharing our Thanksgiving. You know, it's fun to watch you guys interact and be together. Yeah. You guys have had a really long, successful marriage. And, you know, I'm hoping for that for us as well.
Yeah, you know, Brett, if I can speak for Brett, you know, he barely got to know you before the pandemic, and it's nice to have him know my parents, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like a real family, and so I'm glad.
Oh, Brett, we love you. We are real easy to love.
And I love telling all my girlfriends that I have a gay child that I am proud of.
Okay, well.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
I say that to all my girlfriends all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if I told you this, Brett, but my mom got a Facebook just to talk about how I'm gay. And, you know, in her own way, I think that's very loving.
Every day, it's like, you know, what's on your mind? My Facebook, here's how my Facebook works. I log on to www.facebook.com is my go-to. And I get on there and it says, what are you thinking? What are you up to? It asks me a question. And I'm like, I have a gay son. It's usually as much as I write every day. I'm very proud. I get lots of support and love. And a lot of ads for things that I don't think I want to have anything to do with. Good wine.
Oh, good.
Carl, wake up.
Sorry. Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, my God. Okay. I just fell asleep for one moment. I had a second of pee. Anyway, I'm sorry. Have we started the prayer yet?
No, but that's a great idea. Do we want to do a traditional prayer this year, hon?
It's Thanksgiving. Why not?
Let's pray.
Let's pray. Let's all say something nice one at a time.
Well, I just want to give thanks to whoever. I just want to say that I'm thankful to be with family, that we're all healthy, that we're all relatively happy, and that we get to spend time with each other.
Thank you. That's beautiful. That's, we love you.
Can I go?
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead, Carl. Please go before you fall asleep again.
Thank you. I'm grateful. I'm happy and I'm thankful that I'm awake and that my back is not great, but that, I'm not thankful for that. I'm thankful for that I've gotten to this age because my parents always told me I was going to die before I turned 23. That was didn't happen. It's like they said, you're ugly. You look like dots.
You look like points, a bunch of points.
Points. Yeah. But I made it, so I'm happy. I have a wonderful marriage for a good 53 years. And two bad ones. Remember the two bad years?
Yeah, 1981 and 1990.
Yeah, 1981 and 1990. Thank God it wasn't 2 years in a row.
Basically. No, of course not.
Yeah, well, 1981 was bad because one of us wanted Reagan, the other one didn't. And 1990 was bad because we disagreed on Silence of the Lambs.
Absolutely. I thought it was a comedy, and to this day,
yeah,
I think it's the funniest movie I have ever seen, and I don't care what anybody else has to say. Jodie Foster is hysterical in that movie.
You guys are just so full of life, and I guess I'm grateful that we could all be here together and grateful for this big meal, and you know, just grateful that we have such cool people to look up to. You know, it's as I age and get older and mature more, I look for role models, and you guys have really been kind, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett.
Right,
that's very sweet, honey.
Well, I can I go? I feel like I've been so patiently listening.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to go now. I am grateful for my taste in casual separates. Because so many of my girlfriends have to buy the entire outfit on the mannequin. And I know how to mix and match, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm wearing slacks by Merle Norman and a top by Talbots.
And you look great. You look really great.
Thank you. I agree.
And I love our marriage too.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah.
Scene.
That scene just turned into weird parents.
I've never believed a couple more. I've never believed a couple
he
existed was so more.
Oh, he was so that man was like not going to be okay. He was also like seemed so much just. So much older than they've been married for 53 yes. years.
Yes. Yeah, they were probably the same age. He's just aged
so bad. And he's also getting beaten every night.
It just seems exhausted.
But I really, when I said it, I was like, I thought it was like accidental hitting. But you like did it because you wanted me to watch this movie with you or this show. You're like, boom. Not like she rules.
That man had made so much peace with how bad his life was.
The voicemail that we listened to was so sweet, and this woman seemed so nice, and I turned her into a raging monster.
You really clicked into the nervous thing that he said.
And stupid. I clicked into idiot and nervous.
Casual separate.
She thought Thanksgiving meant grits was her first thought.
Grits. And she's so disappointed. And her wine, like, well, she's convinced the waitress put coffee in her wine.
In her Chardonnay. You'd be able to tell.
That was.
She remembered her name.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was really the perfect type of specific of not trusting a stranger.
Coffee.
Mitch, Silpa, Drew Drogi, thank you so much for being here. This was...
Oh, God. Thank you for having us. This was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
As you guys predicted were awesome. At the beginning, this was as fun as I wanted it to be. Mitch, is there anything you'd like to plug or anywhere people can find you?
Oh, I'm on Instagram at Mitch Silpa Pix. I'm on Twitter under my name. What do I need to plug? Oh, I'm a movie is coming out, an indie film called Runt that's opening soon, so I'm in that.
Okay, great. Runt?
Awesome.
Yeah, Runt.
All right. We'll find that on demand and watch it. Or maybe in theaters, too. I don't know.
It's both.
That's great. Mm. Are you guys going to theaters? Drew, you said you saw something recently.
Yeah, I'm going to theaters right now. I just wear a mask the whole time, and I'm just trying to be good. Yeah. I'm just at a point where I'm like, also in LA, I just assume stupidly that we're around mostly vaccinated people that are taking care. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
I feel like certain theaters, like if you go to the Landmark Theater, like on Pico, like if
that's where it was last night. Yeah.
Well, there's so many old people that go there. You're like, it's probably safe. All these people are probably vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a crowd that will be protecting themselves if they're seeing movies. Yeah. So Runt. You all both do that. Those videos on Instagram are so funny. I don't know if that's a regular thing or just whenever you want to, but Mitch and Drew play characters on a phone call with each other generally, and they're always very funny.
Two old queens who just have a minute to catch up.
Drew, is there anything you'd like to plug in where people can find you?
I'm a voice. I'm on that one episode of that Q-Force on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
That's like, I guess that's, you know.
I'm excited to watch that show.
I think that's, it's really fun. It's really fun. Yeah.
And patreon.com/you'retheman now dog. If you're listening to the free episode and want the full experience, you can support the Patreon, get video of all our episodes, two-man episodes with Ryan and I, and extended versions of the episodes. Ryan, is there anything else we'd like to plug or you'd like to plug?
And then also go check out Big Grande website. We just released a new season of The Teacher's Lounge with our buddies Drew and John, and more to check out over there.
Yeah. Thanks so much to both of you again. It's great to see you. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.